Amen. One of my favorite hymns of all time. It is well with my soul. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for the awesome God that you are. And may each person know here today, regardless of what they may be going through, that if Christ is Lord and Master of our life, that it is well with our soul. That if you brought us to this, you're going to bring us through this. Pour out your Spirit, guide us, open our eyes and our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts, the 26th chapter, verse 28, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to be a Christian.'" Now, as I was studying this and studying in Acts, that word just kind of jumped out at me, because the word "almost" is kind of a sad word even in the best of circumstances. You know, I almost finished the race. You know, I almost ran a marathon. The marriage almost made it. You know, they almost got victory over that sin. You know, he almost recovered from cancer. Almost is a word that is like you get really close, but you're not quite there. And here with Agrippa, the last of his line, and the last time we ever hear from Agrippa again, almost is especially tragic, because almost is the closest Agrippa ever got to the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the book of Acts and you look at the early Christians, you know, they were everything but almost. You know, they weren't almost about anything. They were all in, amen? And that's how Paul was. When Paul experienced the gospel, he went from almost to being all in. And that's why in Acts 26, Paul is in prison, right? Because when you're all in with God, very often, the world and governments and other things will turn against you. And so because he's all in, he's in prison. He's charged with sedition. And so Paul appeals to his benefit, his privilege as a Roman citizen, to appeal all the way to Caesar. And so he appeals to Caesar because he doesn't think he's going to get a very fair trial there with Festus and Agrippa. He's been in prison for a couple of years. And Festus is the new Roman governor. So Paul went into prison under the governor Felix, but now Festus is the new governor of Judea. Agrippa is Judea's king, and they want to hear Paul's case before sending him on to Rome. Because you see, governors were always worried about their political career. And you know, you could get into trouble either way when it came to the emperor. The emperor could be mad that Festus wasted their time by sending this person to them. Or the emperor could get mad because he didn't honor that Roman citizenship. And so these political guys are always worried about what other people are thinking. And so at first you think Paul's using his citizenship in order to get off the hook. But then you read Acts 26:32 at the end, and Agrippa makes this statement. He says this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. And suddenly you're like, well, then what in the world is Paul's point? Why is he appealing to Caesar unless to get set free? Verse 29 tells us, notice, Paul replied, "I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I what? Am." And I believe it is almost humorous because, you know, these guys had a sense of humor like anybody. But kind of, I believe in a little bit of a humorous way, Paul says, well, except for these chains, of course. I want you to be what I am. You see, friends, and then it hits you. Paul is not appealing to Rome to get off the hook. Paul is appealing to Rome in order to share more of Christ. He wants to share Christ with more people because, you see, Paul is all in. He's all into the gospel. He's not almost anymore. Remember, it was Paul who said to the church in Corinth, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a what? Slave, servant, captive to all." Why? So that I might win more. Now, who do you think Paul learned this amazing self-sacrifice from? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. You see, Paul, just like Paul, Jesus, was he brought before a Roman governor? Was Jesus also brought before a Judean king? Yes, but Jesus didn't try to save himself, did he? No, his goal was to save us. That's Jesus' goal. And I found it interesting as I was studying the encounter with Jesus that Pilate says emphasizes the title, the position, king. Because you see, that's what Pilate would be worried about, his kingship. But Jesus, in response, doesn't say, "Well, yeah, I am the king." No, he doesn't say that. What he emphasized, kingdom, his people. Friends, Pilate is worried about position. Jesus is worried about people. And that is the difference between this world's leadership and God's leadership. Think about it. Pilate, Festus, Agrippa, Herod, they are all so captivated by their position and power, they are always worried by what the population thinks. But Jesus and Paul are so captivated with the plan of salvation, they are so captivated by the gospel, they gladly lay down their power, lay down their position, lay down all the things that are theirs to have by right, and they lay it down in order to save people. The first point with going all in with Jesus today is you cannot be held captive by what people think. Amen? That's the difference between the Agrippa, almost a Christian, and Paul, all in a Christian. You cannot worry about what people think. You cannot be held captive by what people think. Because check this out, Acts 26:24, as Paul is sharing the gospel, as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind." Now the translators are being nice, because when you study the actual Greek, it is what it really means is Festus shouted at the top of his voice, "Are you crazy?" Festus and Agrippa think Paul's crazy. When you go all in with Jesus, people will think you're crazy. You gave how much to the church? You're crazy. You spent how much on Christian education? You're crazy. You gave how much to that person? You love your enemies and you turn the other cheek? That is crazy. Friends, if you go all in with Christ, the world will call you crazy. But you know what? If this world is normal, then I want to be called crazy. Amen? Call me crazy because this world is messed up. See, that's the bad thing about the world. Turn on the news. The world thinks things that are crazy are normal. Christians think things that the world calls normal as crazy. Crazy. Divorce is normal in the world, but as Christians, we want to fight against that crazy. Being unfaithful is normal. People don't even bat an eye at that. They think, actually, it's more crazy, the idea that someone would stay married for so long. If the world is normal, I want to be called crazy. Now I want to be clear. I'm talking about a good kind of crazy, okay? Because we've all met some bad crazy. So the difference between good and bad crazy is bad crazy repels people. No thank you. They're looking out for them, so when church comes and they see them, they go in the opposite direction. Bad crazy repels people. Good crazy, friends, it attracts people. Good crazy attracts people. I'm talking about a reversal of values. Friends, we love what the world hates. We love the broken. We love the poor. We love the hurting. We love unity. We love love. We love people getting along. We love what the world hates, and we hate what the world loves. Power, control, manipulation, hate. Friends, I'm talking about the kind of crazy that in Acts 17:6, the early Christians, notice, they were charged with turning the world upside down. When you compare God's kingdom with this world's kingdom, it is an upside down kingdom. It's the total opposite of the way the world is. Notice, if you go all in with Christ, people will call you crazy. Notice what it says, what Paul says. He says, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking, notice these two words, true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his attention, for this has not been done in a corner. Friends, at the end of the Gospel of John, notice, John says this, that Jesus did so many miracles that there's not enough room in the entire world to house all the books that would have to be written of all the miracles Jesus did. That's a lot of miracles. And for every miracle, there were witnesses. And for every witness, there were friends of the witness and family of the witness. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, Paul says that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. Now, friends, people do have hallucinations. I've seen someone have a hallucination. It's scary. People do have hallucinations, but not 500 people at the same time. And then Paul says this, and you'll hear this throughout the Gospels. Paul says, most of whom are still what? What he's saying is, look, you don't believe me? You go check with them yourself. You talk to one of these 500 people yourself. Investigate it. That's why the gospel writers are always giving names, because they were saying, they're an eyewitness. Go see them. You talk to them. So what Paul is saying, Festus just got there. He doesn't know any better. So he turns his attention to Agrippa, who has been there. And Paul's saying, look, unless you've been living under a rock, you know what I'm talking about. Festus, talk to Agrippa. I am speaking true and, what's that word? Rational words. Friends, Newsweek came out with a pretty incredible article several years ago. And basically they concluded at the end of this this article that the most logical and reasonable explanation for the rise of Christianity was that the resurrection must have happened. Because you see, friends, early Christians lost power, they lost position, they lost wealth, they gave up wealth, and they lost family, they lost friends, they lost their freedom, they even lose their lives for their faith. People don't go all in like that for just some kind of rumor. People don't give their lives for something they just kind of heard. They must have seen the risen Lord. People will say you have no rational basis for your faith. You do. People will say you're crazy to believe in Christianity. You're not. People will say, oh, you are just unintelligent if you believe in a young earth. No. Yeah. That, you know, again, what the world calls normal, we call crazy. To me, it takes far more faith to believe that this amazing earth, that something came out of nothing. That's crazy. But you see, the world calls crazy what we see as very, very normal. Friends, this is why you cannot let what people think take you captive. okay? You can't let them capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. You see, Agrippa knows that what Paul is saying is true. He knows Paul isn't crazy, which is why Agrippa doesn't say, "Paul, you're nuts." He says, "You know what? You almost made a believer out of me." Because he knows. He sees it. Friends, we've got to go all in with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want miracles to almost happen in the church. I want to see miracles happen. I don't want marriages to almost make it. I want marriages to make it. I don't want Bowman Hills to almost finish the work God's called us to do here in Cleveland. I want to finish it. I don't want to almost fulfill my calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to go all in. Paul was so captivated by Christ, he's not held captive by what anyone else thinks. For years, like Agrippa, Paul was a member of the right church. He kept the right rules. He had the right Bible. He wore the right clothes. And yet he killed and persecuted Christ and his church. Don't you see? He was almost a Christian. But friends, almost is not enough. Almost Christians do more damage than people who are not Christians at all. Because when almost Christians call themselves Christians and they treat people with contempt and with anger and with hate, you are hurting the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you post that on Facebook and you say those things, it'd be better for you to be all in with Jesus than all in with whatever you're trying to push and promote. Man, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, not almost, I am. I am a child of God. I am loved beyond belief. I am forgiven of my sins. I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so are you, hallelujah, if you go all in with Jesus today. Friends, Paul was so captivated by Christ, he's not held captive by anything else. He's all in. So what made the difference for Paul? Second point, an experience of God's grace. We've got to experience. So first, to go all in, we can't be held captive by what people think. Second point, we've got to experience God's grace. Notice, he's telling them of his conversion. When he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Have you ever wondered what in the world a goad is? I have, and so I looked it up. And basically, a goad is a sharp stick or device that shepherds use in order to prod sheep to go in the right direction. You can't go against the goad. And so that's what Jesus is getting at. And so it's what the shepherd uses to get the sheep going. I don't know about you, but God's had to use a whole lot of goads on this sinner right here. But you know what? I got a God who's so good, he's going to get me into glory, even if he's got to goad me the whole way. And I give him permission. So after Paul experienced God's grace, after he's knocked off his high horse, he goes from almost to all in. You see, friends, too many of us only almost experience God's power and love, because you see, we're still trying to do this on our own power. We're still trying to do this on our own righteousness. But the message of Christianity is, you can't. You're kicking against the goads. You see, friends, I don't care. All the good works in the world are not enough to get you into glory. All the dope in the world, I'm telling you, it's not going to be enough to satisfy you. All the money in the world will not make you happy. All the plastic surgery in the world will not make you feel pretty. All the likes on Facebook and Instagram will not make you feel important. They work briefly, but they don't stay for very long. You see, you were made with something that only God can give you. You were made for eternity. And so until you touch and feel and embrace something that is eternal, you won't be satisfied. So my question to you is, God's grace sufficient for you? If it was really sufficient for you, you would stop trying to earn his love and favor. If it was really sufficient for you, you wouldn't constantly be looking for sufficiency from someone or something else. Friends, either we let the gospel knock us off our high horse, or the world will knock you off your high horse. And I have found that Jesus is much more kind and forgiving than the world. After Paul's knocked down, notice what Jesus says, rise and stand. You know, Solomon says this in Proverbs. I love this. The righteous falls how many times? But rises again. The wicked stumbles in times of calamity. You see, friends, both righteous and the wicked fall down. Both the righteous and the wicked sin and mess up. All the righteous and the wicked, the only difference is that the righteous don't give up. They keep going. They keep getting back up and they say, Lord, help me not to fall down this next time. Let me ask you a question. If I'm laying on the floor, can I fall? No. So the fact that I still fall and recognize that I fell is proof that I am up and I am getting up in Christ Jesus. The righteous don't give up. They keep getting up. Now the world, they knock you down just to leave you. But notice, Jesus knocks you down so he can rise you and lift you up. You see, Jesus knocks you down only so that he can lift you up higher than you've ever been before. Because you see, the good works doesn't lift you very high. Good credit will only get you so far. The good record will only do so much. Your good looks can only take you so far. And for some of us, that's not very far. God's grace has to lift you higher than you've ever been. And that's what Paul says, that the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. He's had an experience of grace. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Only the gospel knocks you down just so that it can pick you up. The gospel says, I am more wicked. I am so wicked, God had to die for me. That knocks me off my high horse. But the gospel also lifts me up because it says God loves me so much, he gladly died for me. Only the gospel knocks you down just to lift you up. If we're going to go all in with Christ, you can't be held captive by what people think. You've got to have an experience of grace, and you got to know that you have a place. Last point. Notice what it says. Jesus tells Paul, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. Boy, Paul had it rough. I'm sending you to them. Why? To open their eyes and turn them from their darkness, from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin, but it doesn't stop there. And a what? Place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, when you look at this word for place, it's kleros. It's not just a place where you live. Kleros means destiny. It means inheritance. It means your share. It's more than a place where you live. It's a place where you belong. And friends, in the beginning, before sin, we had a place. The God placed us in the garden of perfection. In the beginning, we had a place. But the moment we took our lives into our own hands, we sinned. We lost our place. And ever since, we've been east of Eden looking for a place. And we try to look for it in power. We try to look for it in politics. We try to look for it in the drugs. We try to look for it in the money. We try to look for it in the beauty. We try to look for it in the popularity. We try to look for it in sexuality. Today's day and age, we even look for it in our gender identity. Just like the Tower of Babel, we try to make this name for ourselves, but the message of the gospel is you can't. Man, we even look for it in religion and our morality, but the problem with making those your place is that you can lose power, you can lose popularity, you can lose a husband, you can lose a wife, you can lose the election, money, career, beauty, you lose it, even morality. You mess up once and there goes your place. God's gonna zap you. Friends, the only safe and secure place in the universe is found in Jesus Christ. You see, because Paul knew his position was safe in Christ, he's not worried about playing it safe on earth. Because Paul knew that Christ had his back, he's not preoccupied with impressing people. Because Paul knows no one can take his place away, he can stand up even if they take his life away. Hallelujah, friends, when your hope in your home is with Christ in heaven, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. I'm talking about going all in. Paul went all in. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. All who have gone all in. Now this word, laid up, it means to store something safe and secure. We see it again in Colossians 1:5. The hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Friends, when you know that your place, when you find your place in Christ, you realize it is perfectly safe and secure. And if you know that, you will take incredible chances for the gospel. If you know that, you can live and do what the world may call crazy, but Christ confirms. Paul doesn't care what people think. He's experienced God's grace. He knows in Christ he has a place. And that's the difference between Paul, who was all in, and Agrippa, who was only almost a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But friends, the problem with almost is it's not enough. Friends, I don't want to almost be a Christian. Friends, I don't want to almost be forgiven. I don't want to almost be ready when Jesus returns. And that's why I'm going all in. When you study Josephus, he was a contemporary historian, a Jewish historian, alive when Christ was alive. And according to Josephus, Agrippa was a close ally and friend with Titus, the emperor's son, who in 70 AD destroyed Jerusalem. And historians believe that there's a good chance that Agrippa was with Titus watching from the sidelines as Jerusalem is destroyed. He's the king of Judea. Think about that. The one who should have been fighting for the temple, who is standing by and watching it burn down to the ground. And friends, that's what happens when we're only almost the church. Friends, let me tell you, every church, did you know, is only one generation from total extinction. If this generation does not pass on a church to the next generation, then the church will die. Friends, if we don't do something, we cannot sit on the sidelines watching the church fall apart. Because you know what? The church is the last house on the block for me. There is no plan B for me. I got nowhere else to go. This is the last house. I have no other place. And so I'm going all in. If it was up to some of us, the church wouldn't last another week. We got to have Christians who are ready to go all in. I'm going all in because you see, friends, Christ went all in for me. Jesus didn't almost leave heaven for me, he did. He didn't almost take the cup of me for me, he did. Jesus didn't almost carry the cross for me, he did. Jesus didn't almost finish it. Hallelujah, Jesus declared from Calvary, finish. Instead of sitting on the sidelines, Christ, the real King of the Jews, went to the front lines. In order to lift us up out of sin, Christ was lifted up on the cross. Jesus didn't almost die. Jesus all in died. But hallelujah, Jesus didn't almost come out of the tomb. Jesus came out of the tomb. If Jesus went all in for me, friends, I'm going all in for Jesus. Step up, suit up, and get plugged in to God's kingdom. No more sitting on the sidelines. Time to go all in with Jesus. Most gracious Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, be with us, guide us, change us. Help us to go from almost to all in. Lord, some of us are almost have victory over that sin. Some of us have almost quit smoking. Some of us have almost gotten victory over gossiping. Take us from almost to all the way in. Give victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to go all in. May we see Christ high and lifted up. May we see how Jesus went all in for us. May we ask how we can go all in for Jesus today. In his name we pray. Amen.